Okay, you guys ready for the word? So 2 weeks ago was Rosh Hashanah, and 2 weeks ago we learned about, and we actually heard those four trumpet blasts, those shofar blasts of Rosh Hashanah. Last week we focused on the biblical account of Jonah, because we also saw that Jonah is a very important part of Rosh Hashanah for people of the Jewish faith. Fall itself is filled with celebrations and with all kinds of significant and meaningful dates for the Jewish people. In fact, last Wednesday was Yom Kippur. We talked about that a little bit. That was the Day of Atonement. And in fact, today, tonight, at sunset, begins another festival. It begins another feast time for those in Israel. Actually, for any Jewish people all across the world. Starting tonight at sunset begins the 8-day period known as the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. Now, for the Jewish people, the Feast of Tabernacles is the most joyous celebration. It's the most joyous of all of their feasts and all of their special days. It's a time when they were supposed to build or construct temporary shelters or booths to remind them of the time that they were in the wilderness, to remind them of their time in the wilderness when God delivered them from bondage in Egypt and was bringing them into the promised land that he had for them. I talked, for those of you that were here in June, if you remember Moran. Moran is the man who was born a Hebrew in Israel and got saved here in the United States about 10 years ago and now has a dynamic ministry in Israel. He's one of the guys that will be doing some of the teaching on the Israel tour. He was here in June. I just talked to him yesterday, and I was asking him, you know, about the Feast of Tabernacles, because this has been, you know, his whole life. And he said he's getting back to Israel. He's been in the United States. He's getting back to Israel today, just in time to start. And he was just talking about some of his memories of just the joyous celebration that the Feast of Tabernacles is. So for you and I as believers in Jesus Christ, what can we learn from this Feast of Tabernacles? What is it that is there something that we can learn from this? Because this is a feast that God instructed the Jews. He instructed them throughout the Old Testament to honor and observe this holiday. In fact, it's mentioned, it's commanded that they observe it in Leviticus, in Numbers, in Deuteronomy, in 2 Chronicles, and in Zechariah. That's pretty clear that for the Jews and under the Old Covenant, this was something that was very important, that God instructed them that they had to observe those things. So what is it that we can learn? Well, probably the best place to start is with the definition, because you know that I love definitions. So let's look at Feast of Tabernacles. In the Hebrew, the word tabernacle means sukkah. And sukkah means a temporary shelter or a booth. The Bible uses sukkah to describe various things. For example, it describes the temporary shelter for animals or for warriors, or the aforementioned temporary shelters in the wilderness for the Jews. And that's what everybody focuses on when you hear the word sukkah. But I looked it up, and there's another meaning for the word sukkah. Now it means, and it's going to be relevant, remember, because these two meanings together are important. The Jewish people, they focus exclusively on the temporary shelters and the booths. That's why it's called the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. But there's a secondary meaning, and for you and I as believers in Jesus Christ, there is a combination. It's a combination of the two meanings that brings light and illumination for you and I, because it is about the booths and the tabernacles, but the other meaning for sukkah is clouds or the cloud. Now, we'll get to that in a second, and that'll make some sense, but let's clarify the differences in the two definitions. So for the Jewish people, the Feast of Tabernacles is about sukkah, or the temporary shelters, or those booths in the wilderness. It's for them, it's about their journey during that time of deliverance from Egypt and the bondage of Egypt as God was bringing them into their promised land that he had established for them. For you and I, sukkah is really about the cloud, because it's about our deliverance through Jesus Christ from sin and death. And it's about, after that, it's about our journey. With that deliverance, it's our journey, our journey to possessing all of the promises, not the promised land, all of the promises that are already ours in Jesus Christ. And it's about possessing those promises as we dwell within these temporary shelters, these booths that the Holy Spirit Himself dwells within. So can you see the difference between the two? And can you see how these two things tie together and are really important for us? You know, it's easy for us as believers to overlook all of the festivals and all the things that take place for the Jewish people. But remember, this is what God had established, and it was a vital part of the Old Covenant. And Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Covenant. And we can learn so much about what we have in Jesus Christ today by fully understanding these things and applying these things to our lives. So there's many biblical references to Sukkah, or there's many biblical references to the cloud as the presence of God. If you go through the Old Testament, we could spend a lot of time. I'll look at a few verses. We could look at a lot of verses that refer to the cloud as being the presence of God. Now, the presence of God in the form of a cloud in the Old Testament, look, that's something that we can't even begin to picture, because that was something that was so supernatural. So supernatural, the natural things can't compare. So I want to show you a few pictures. I want to show you these pictures. Now, these are just natural occurrences, but I saw these things and it kind of stirred in my heart this whole thought about this being the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkah, the cloud, and the cloud being the presence of God, because we know the presence of God dwells within us. Okay, so can you turn these lights off here too? Okay, these are just pictures I found. I thought that's pretty cool. God in the clouds. All right, let's look at the next one. I thought that was really cool. Now, that's just an actual picture. That one's cool too. Okay, now this is my favorite one, this last one. Is that not awesome? That's God in the clouds. Now, we're seeing these in just natural occurrences. And when you think about in the Old Testament, when they were talking about the presence of God being in the cloud, and we do tend to think about that cloud by day and that fire by night. That was something that was so powerful. There's no pictures that we could ever even begin that would capture the supernatural nature and the power of that. We're going to start to tie those two definitions together of Sukkah, of both the booths or temporary shelters and the cloud. Paul actually talks to us about the role of the cloud in the Israelites coming out of their journey out of Israel. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. I'm reading this morning from the Amplified Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. For I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, that our forefathers were all under and protected by the cloud in which God's presence went before them. And every one of them passed safely through the Red Sea. When we think about that miracle at the Red Sea, when we think about the parting of the waters, we don't usually associate the cloud with that miracle. I mean, when you think about the movies and you think, you don't usually associate the cloud with that parting of the Red Sea. And yet Paul's making it clear. And if you go back and you read, you see the cloud does have before and during and after. The cloud is an important part. The people themselves were protected by the cloud, the presence of God, as they crossed that sea. So the cloud represents God's presence, the glory of God and God's presence. Now, perhaps most of us, when we think about the cloud, most of us, our minds probably go to right away to that cloud that God used to lead or direct or guide the Israelites through the wilderness. We think about that cloud that was upon the tent of meeting in that wilderness. What is described as that cloud appearing, having the appearance of a cloud by day and that cloud of fire by night. And we see that in Numbers chapter 9, verses 15 and 17. That's what we normally think of about the cloud, the presence of God. Now on that day, the tabernacle was raised up. The cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of testimony, from evening until morning. It was above the tabernacle like an appearance of fire. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day. I want you to focus on that. The cloud covered it, surrounded it, was around it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from the above the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey. And in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. Now we need to remember that we have a better covenant than the Israelites had. Amen? We have a better covenant. So when the Israelites were walking in the cloud, they were protected by His presence. They were protected by the presence of God. It's about that which was external. It's that which surrounded them as they dwelled in those temporary shelters, those booths in the wilderness. You and I as believers in Jesus Christ, we have His presence protectively surrounding us at all times. We have that, but we also have more. It's not just for the Jews. It was that which was external. It covered. It surrounded them. We have that. Thank you, Jesus. But we have more than that because it's not just the power, the presence of God surrounding us. It's the presence of God that is actually dwelling in these temporary shelters, in these booths, in the person of the Holy Spirit. So we have the presence of God that protects us and surrounds us. But we also have that presence of God, which they didn't have. This is the difference between Sukkah temporary shelters and Sukkah cloud. We also have that presence of God that dwells within us, giving us that daily comfort, giving us that teaching, that guidance, that direction, that correction, and that peace as we live out our lives in this wilderness of this life. And we live it out, we live our lives in this wilderness in these temporary shelters or temporary booths. Now, let me go back. This is something we talked about a number of months ago. Let me go back and talk just for a moment about the kingdom of God. If you remember, we defined the kingdom of God. That's a phrase that we use a lot, the kingdom of God. If you remember, we defined the kingdom of God in part as being when those spiritual realm realities become evident here in this natural realm. It's in those moments of the supernatural that the kingdom of God is apparent here in the natural realm. It's the spiritual realm realities actually displacing the natural norm or the natural realm realities. All right? Make sense? That's when we talk about kingdom of God, that's what we're talking about. The kingdom of God. It's those things that are His spiritual realm here. Well, sometimes we see those kingdom of God moments. Now, think this through. Sometimes we see those kingdom of God moments through the cloud. The cloud which surrounds, think about this, picture this, the cloud which surrounds the ascending and the descending of the power of God from the heavenly realms. It's about His power and His promises which are coming and going between the spiritual realm and the natural realm. It's about the manifestation of His power and promises right here in the natural realm. Does that make sense? Can you picture that? So this is what we're talking about. Now, when we talk about the power of God, there's a lot of different ways that we could see the power of God in this illustration. Think of it about His power, ascending and descending from the spiritual realm here into the natural realm. This is true when we talk about healings. This is true for finances. This is true for even the smallest things in the Word of God that we stand on, those promises that we believe. Those are all examples of His power ascending or descending from here in the natural realm, the spiritual realm, into this, the natural realm. That's true for all the small things. But let me give you some examples from the Scriptures on just the greatness of that concept. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, 17. Unless I tell you otherwise, I'm using the New King James Version. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up, ascending. We shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus, we shall always be with the Lord. How about Revelation chapter 10, verse number 1? I saw still another mighty angel coming down, descending from heaven, coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet were like pillars of fire. Even that imagery sounds like that pillar of fire of the cloud of God by night when the Israelites were in the wilderness. One more from Revelation. Revelation chapter 11, verse number 12. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. So, kingdom of God, you and I have all the promises of Jesus Christ, every promise that is here in this word. It's true and it's for you, regardless of whether you've seen it or experienced it, yet it is still yours. He's established it. He's prepared it. It is yours. We have to possess it. It is the kingdom of God. It's those spiritual realm realities, and we bring those things from the spiritual realm here into the natural realm. And we do that by the words of faith that we speak. But as we're doing that, it's evidence of the power of God ascending and descending. It's that transference from the spiritual realm to this natural realm. And this is the difference between the Feast of Tabernacles, or the tabernacles, or sukkah of the shelter or the booths, and sukkah of the presence of the Lord. Because for you and I, the presence of the Lord dwells within us, is in us. Now again, I'm going to ask you to use your memory. Hopefully some of you took notes, or at least you remember. A few weeks ago, we were talking about in the story of in 1 Kings. And it's when Solomon was dedicating the temple of God. And in that time, and in those verses, you could see that it referred to God as his presence in the form of a cloud. Those verses refer to God as a cloud. And it said that the presence of the Lord, so this is as Solomon is dedicating the temple. This is our temple. So the same thing is true. But as Solomon was dedicating the temple, it says that the presence of God in a cloud so filled the temple that, if you remember, it said the priests could not do their work within the temple. The presence of God, that cloud, the Holy Spirit, the glory of God was so strong in that temple that the priests could not do their work. This is how it says it in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 11. So that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. The glory of the Lord, his presence, filled the house so that the priests could not do their work. Now, in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 6, we are told that he, Jesus Christ, has made you and I. He's made us to be priests unto him. So think about that verse and think about that situation. There are the priests. They can't do the work in the temple. Here's the temple. We are priests, made priests unto him. And we do know that this body is his temple today. We are the priests. Here's the temple. So let's let the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, the glory of God, the cloud of God so fill this temple that I can't do my will or my work, that it can only be his work done through me according to his will, because I've allowed the Spirit of God, the presence, the sukkah of God to dwell so fully and strongly within me that my work can't be done. That's what our goal is. And this is what, when we think about the Feast of Tabernacles, as joyous a time as that is in Israel, we think about the Feast of Tabernacles, this is what we should be remembering. That power that dwells, that presence of God, his Holy Spirit that dwells within us. You know, if for the Jews, if this is their greatest celebration, their greatest time of joy, if for them this is their greatest time of joy as they rejoice in their deliverance, if it's that marker for them, marking the time when they were in the wilderness, in those tabernacles and in those temples, if that's their this is their greatest time of joy, how much greater should our joy be today as we get ourselves out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to move through us, to move through these shelters, through these temporary booths, to his power and to his glory. How much more joyous. We should be joyous, church. Listen, if you're watching the news and you see on the news they have some of the joyous celebrations, it should be sparking a remembrance in us that we've got a greater joy because of what is in us and because of who is in us. The Feast of Tabernacles, it celebrates the Israelites' deliverance from bondage in Egypt. That's what it celebrates. It's to remind them, it's a reminder to them of that time in the wilderness when they were in those temporary shelters or in those booths. And that's really interesting because in the New Testament, in 2 Peter, Peter identifies these bodies that we live in, he identifies them as tents, temporary shelters. This is what Peter says. Israel was in those constructed temporary shelters in the wilderness only until they were able to move into the promised land that God had for them. That's the only time that they had those temporary shelters, until they moved into the promised land that God had for them. But during that time when they're in those temporary shelters, they had the presence of God. They had the cloud that went before them, that surrounded them, and that protected them. You and I, we dwell within these temporary shelters, what Peter referred to as a tent. But we're not headed towards the promised land because we already have all of the promises of Jesus Christ. We already have them all. They're ours, waiting for us to possess. We still have that presence of God that's around us, but we also have the presence of God that is dwelling within these temporary shelters, these booths, these tents. When you think about, and I'm changing tacks here, but when you think about Jesus, when he ascended into heaven, if you remember when that took place, Jesus ascended into heaven in the sight of all of his disciples. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he ascended in a cloud. Jesus departed from this natural life into the spiritual one from a cloud. Let's read that from Acts chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. But you shall receive power. This is Jesus talking. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. So what are the last words? What are the last words of instruction that Jesus gave to his disciples? He said, you will receive power in the Holy Spirit. For what purpose? To become his witnesses. The Israelites of the Old Testament, they were headed towards the promised land. That was the place where God had prepared all of their natural needs for them. But that's not you and I, because we have our promised land in Jesus Christ. We have all of the promises, not just the natural promises. We have every promise, everything from start to finish. Every promise, great and small, these are ours. In Jesus Christ, we have the fullness of all of his promises, just waiting for us to possess. The Israelites, they struggled to enter into the promised land, and they never fully possessed it. For you and I, we are supposed to possess. We don't have to look to head into the promised land. You have the promised land in Jesus. You have more promises than they ever had. We are supposed to possess the promises that we have here and walk in his power. And as we do so, we become his daily witnesses. This is what we're called to do. And this is why Feast of Tabernacles should be so exciting for us. It should be liberating for us. Remember that we've already established that the cloud is associated with the tabernacle, or the cloud is associated with, wait a minute, I forget what the cloud is associated with. Oh yeah, the cloud is associated with the ascending and the descending of the saints, of the angels, and of the power of God. That's what the cloud is associated. We've already seen that. But I want us to just think about one other thing, because I want to conclude this morning by looking at one of the promises, or the promise that's really imperative, that we see that Jesus gave to Nathanael. This is the promise that he gave to Nathanael. Look at this from John chapter 1, verses 47 through 51. This is the promise that he gave to Nathanael as Nathanael was becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, 47 through 51. So Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, And he said of him, "Behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter, you shall see heaven open and angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Boy, does that not tie in with what we've already been looking at? I just love the way the Word paints the same picture for us and brings clarity to that. So Nathanael has just met Jesus. And Jesus says to Nathanael, "I saw you sitting under the fig tree." Now, only God could have seen the circumstances of Philip calling Nathanael under that fig tree. Now, we don't know, but whatever else Jesus said to Nathanael about that exchange under the fig tree between he and Philip, whatever that was, Nathanael knew that only God could know those things. And so that supernatural insight led Nathanael to say, "You are the Son of God." And Nathanael became a follower of Jesus Christ and one of his disciples. And then listen to what Jesus said to Nathanael. Jesus said, "This supernatural experience that you just had, this is nothing compared to what you will see as you follow me. You will see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." So Nathanael was told that he is going to see the spiritual realm realities becoming evident right here in this natural realm. He was told he's going to see the kingdom of God itself. He's going to see the kingdom of God manifested right here in this natural world. This is what Nathanael was told he was going to see. This is the promise that he had. He would see those angels. And remember that Nathanael was up on the Mount of Olives. He was there on that day that Jesus ascended. Nathanael was there. And when he saw Jesus ascending, he saw a foretaste of that promise that we just saw that Jesus gave to him. Let's go back and look once again at Jesus' ascension in Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 10 and 11. "And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, and also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up into heaven will so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven.'" So think about those disciples. Here they are, they're watching Jesus ascend up into heaven. What they saw has to be impossible to describe in human terms, because they're seeing Jesus in the form of a man taken in a cloud from this natural realm into the spiritual realm. That's what they're seeing. And as they see Jesus ascending, it says that they are looking into heaven. And as their gaze was intently on heaven, Nathanael saw part of the promise that Jesus had made, because he saw the ascending and the descending of the angels. Here these two angels are, descended from heaven. They're standing there, and they give this good word, this good news to the disciples. And they say, "Hey, Jesus is coming back. He is going to return in the same manner he left. He's going to return. In the cloud he left, and in the cloud, he will return." This is what they saw. Now, the second part of the promise for Nathanael that Jesus had, that second promise hadn't yet come, but it was going to come very shortly. Because in the very next chapter, Acts chapter 2, that's when the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, that's when the Holy Spirit descended and dwelled within men, dwelled within this temporary shelter, dwelled within this booth, dwelled within this tent. And when that took place, that's when Nathanael and all of those disciples, that's when they could see and experience those greater things through Jesus Christ that Jesus had promised. And those are the exact same greater things that we should see and that we should be experiencing daily in our lives. Amen? Does anybody believe that?
Yes.
All right. Look, I want to see that power of the Holy Spirit working in this booth. That's what I want to see. I want to see that promise that Jesus gave to Nathanael. I want to see that. I want to see the heavens open up and the spiritual realm realities take place here in this natural realm, manifest in this natural life through us, through these temporary shelters, booths, and tents. This week in Israel, it's 8 days, it starts tonight. This week in Israel, all throughout the week, they are rejoicing and celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. We should be celebrating and joyous far greater than them because they're celebrating the booths of Sukkah. We're celebrating the Sukkah of the cloud of Sukkah that dwells within these booths. They're celebrating the booths. We're celebrating the cloud that is within the booths. How much greater should our joy be? If you look at the writings of some of the rabbis in the Mishnah, which is one of their, it's part of their rabbinical writings, there's a part where they talk about the joy of the Feast of Tabernacles. And the rabbi says, anyone who has not experienced or seen the festivity and the rejoicing that takes place during Sukkot has not experienced rejoicing in their lives ever. That's the joy that it is for them. And again, how much greater should the joy be for you and I who have Sukkah? We have the presence of God. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling here in this temporary shelter, in this booth, with His power to do and accomplish greater things than you could ever possibly imagine. So what are the things that are hindering you? What are the things that are holding you back? What are the things that are your concerns? What are the things that are your worries? What are the things that the Holy Spirit has laid upon your heart to pray for your family or for coworkers or for friends? What are those things that you haven't seen yet? All this week, when you think about the Feast of Tabernacles, think about the presence of God, the cloud, the Holy Spirit that now dwells within these temporary shelters. Because He moves with power, and I want to see that promise that Jesus gave to Nathanael. That's what I want to see in my life. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up and celebrate.